Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. As Winky Medad comes to the broadcast table here on PTIB Today, we must make ourselves ready for a history lesson of great significance. Winky will discuss with me how the Feast of Pentecost, Shavuot in Hebrew, is the time when God gave the Jewish people the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. The Torah, in essence, lays out the foundation for all of biblical doctrine, and also the foundation for the prophetic scenario of God for now and into eternity future. This is all found in the Bible. Stand by, because Winky will join us to give us this history lesson right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. A quick reminder that we have at my website many study materials that will assist you in your study of Bible prophecy. Pentecost should indeed excite us about studying the prophetic word of God given to us so we can know what the future does hold. Go to my website, which is prophecytoday.com. There at the Prophecy Bookstore, you'll find these study materials to assist you in your study of Bible prophecy. And we're going right now to the center part of the State of Israel, a place called Shiloh. Winky, Pentecost is one of the seven Jewish feasts from Leviticus chapter 23, isn't it?
It is, Jimmy. According to the biblical rendition, on the morrow, the day after the Passover festival, there began a count of 49 days of 7 weeks for what we call the Omer, the barley, if I'm not mistaken, as it's translated into English, which would then be brought to the temple. And that became connected to the day that Mount Sinai and the giving of the Torah from God to Moses and on to the people of Israel occurred, so that there's a link up between those two unrelated events. If you want to be directly careful about how the Bible lays it out, but in Jewish tradition, these two things come together. And so, for example, I have been reciting every single night, one day to the Omer, 2 days to the Omer, all the way up until the festival of Shavuot.
Well, it's a very interesting historic background, but there's an agricultural background as well. We'll get to both of those in a moment. Well, in fact, let's go to the historic significance now. The giving of the Torah. Now, for those listening, those Christians listening to this conversation between you and me, Winky, the Torah, actually the first five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which is basically referring to the law that was given traditionally at Mount Sinai when Moses got there after starting to lead the Jewish people towards the Promised Land, correct?
Yes. The Jewish tradition is that he received the tablets of the law, in which the Ten Commandments were inscribed by God himself. The first tablets, as we know, were broken because the children of Israel were a bit impatient, and they were looking for some sort of substitute for Moses and God who disappeared to them. Then the second tablets were brought down, and then Moses remained up in order to study with God, as we believe, the 613 commandments, and then a learning process took place after that. So this is the fundamental aspect of the holiday of Shavuot, that 7 weeks after we left Egypt, we were brought out of Egypt as slaves to become free men and to accept upon ourselves willingly a new religion, and from there to continue to march on to the land of Israel.
But in addition to that historic background, it has an agricultural significance as well. That is the bringing of the first fruits of the wheat harvest to the temple. Now, that was a part of what God commanded in Leviticus also, was it not?
Absolutely. In fact, the book of Ruth is read on the Shavuot holiday because a major element in the book of Ruth, especially in the first chapters and even almost until the end, is harvesting, gathering the grain into the silos, all this agricultural backdrop to the book of Ruth, in addition to its message about receiving converts to Judaism and other elements, which I don't want to go into right now, also plays a role in the fact that Shavuot is viewed as a harvest festival of the wheat and other grains that are grown.
Well, and because of the fact that the first fruits were to be brought to either the tabernacle and or the temple when the temple was standing, because there's no temple today, how would this be observed by the Jewish people as they approach the Shavuot and the special Jewish holy day?
Well, there are people, for example, on one side, someone I think you know, Professor Hillel Weiss, who reenacts a gathering and a cutting, actually almost 7 weeks ago, of the Omer, of the Bali, in a reenactment that, as you know, we've discussed many times, various aspects of the temple service are being reenacted, attempting to see how it really works as an exercise. On the other hand, for many years, the secular kibbutzim in Israel would use this holiday with their first fruits being piled on the back of a tractor and the children being dressed in presumably biblical garb and carrying fruit baskets and other things that are mentioned in the Bible, sort of in a secular fashion to remind us exactly what the ancient children of Israel did.
You know, that's a very interesting thought that you just brought to our attention, the fact that the Sanhedrin, and of course Hillel Weiss, the spokesperson for the 70 wise Jewish scholars, the Sanhedrin reenacting this special bringing of this first of fruits of the wheat harvest and sacrificing that. They did that whereabouts? Not at the Temple Mount area, did they? Or someplace in Israel?
No, it was in a place, if I'm not mistaken, the small community of Itamar, if I'm not mistaken, in the Samaria Hills.
And was there a reason for choosing that particular location or just because they could not go up onto the Temple Mount?
Well, they could not, of course, go up on the Temple Mount. In fact, the Temple Mount is just being opened now. But if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy, Itamar has one or even two grinding mills for wheat and barley and other grains, in which a lot of natural people who want to eat natural food, I don't know exactly how to describe them, come there and get stone ground, for example, very fine or not so fine ground flour at the end of the process. And I presume that he was taking advantage of these people at that location.
And, of course, this entire reenactment, looking forward to being able to be on the Temple Mount, they hope, in the very near future. I understand also, Winky, that the original director of the Temple Institute, a member of the Israeli Knesset and now a Temple Mount activist, Yehuda Glick, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, is wanting to go up onto the Temple Mount. You said the Temple Mount just now being opened up again because of the restrictions on the coronavirus, but it's opened up. He wants to go up and read the book of Psalms there on the Temple Mount. Now, this is, of course, an reenactment of what would happen if the temple was standing there. But why the book of Psalms? Any particular reason for that, or just wants to read the scriptures up on the Temple Mount?
Well, Jimmy, as far as I know, with Yehuda, he has a major project based on the Peace of Jerusalem. And as you and I have discussed several times, Isaiah and other prophets indicate that the Temple Mount is meant to be a place of prayer for all peoples, leading up to that redemptive process that we think the prophets indicate in their writings and in their prophecies. And one way in which all people can get together is reading the Book of Psalms, which I think, is more than perhaps any other book in the Bible, resounds and resonates not only with Jews, but with Christians and other people who find depth and passion and meaning in the words of the Psalms, most of them written by David, others by other Jewish figures at the time. In Judaism, we say Psalms when a person is ill. Over the past 100 years, many of the Psalms have been turned into popular songs with a little bit of modern music, so that it's a book that lends itself less to dividing people by religion than uniting them in a vision of divine interpretation of why man should be at the Temple Mount and thinking about Jerusalem.
You hope that this will be able to happen. Do you think it will happen, Winky?
If I know Yehuda, it will start. I don't know if it will finish.
That's a good answer to that question. Well, my final question is, I want to find out how the Jewish people celebrate Shavuot, or Feast of Pentecost, this time in this year that we're living today. I do know by tradition that a cheesecake is a part of that celebration, one of my favorite parts of the celebration, by the way. But what else happens in addition to the cheesecake, and why cheesecake, for example?
Well, the tradition is that the children of Israel did not eat meat while waiting at the foot of the temple of the Mount Sinai, and therefore milk products or honey or cheese have become very popular in a folksy sort of tradition over the past several centuries. By the way, besides cheesecake, Jimmy, we have blintzes. You know, those filled, I don't know exactly how to call it in English. It's almost like a tortilla that is filled with cream cheese and raisins and other aspects that people go crazy over. One more thing I think I should stress is that the more Orthodox people will stay up all night on the Shavuot holiday. Here in Israel, of course, it's only one day, and learn as much Torah, as much of the law as possible during that evening, and then start daily morning services basically at the crack of dawn. And that is another way of expressing appreciation for the fact that the holiday means that we accepted the law from God at Mount Sinai.
Winky, thank you so much for explaining how the Jewish people approach Shavuot, or the Feast of Pentecost. And I'm going to have a piece of cheesecake in honor of the Jewish people. I'm going to have to suffer through that, but it sounds like a good idea to me. And thank you so very much for helping us Christians to understand what goes on. There's a Christian significance to it. We'll talk with David James about that a bit later on. But you've been a real blessing to us, Winky, by sharing this. And Chag Sameach to you, my friend, on this special Jewish feast day.
Jimmy, Chag Sameach, a happy holiday festival to you, and thank you very much once again for having me on the program. Goodbye to you and our listeners.
A great history lesson from Winky Medad, one of our broadcast partners here on PTIB. You know, God's gift of the Torah to the Jewish people is key for the understanding of the Lord's prophetic scenario for all of us today. Genesis chapters 1 to 12 actually contains the foundational passages for all of biblical doctrine and the foundation for all prophetic passages in the entire Bible. Pentecost should be that day that will remind all of us to study the Bible, to come to an understanding of God's plan for the future. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.